I think it was last week or the week before last, Pastor Adam let me know that it makes him nervous or anxious when I come up here and I go off script. And I just need to let you know, I got nothing today, brother. I'm really excited to see what Jesus has got going today, okay? Yeah. All welcome. My name is John Cook, and I am your pastor of care and counseling. And I'm so glad to be here. I have the, I think it's the privilege to talk to you today about trauma. And just by me bringing that word up, I know that there's some of you that you can almost kind of feel your heart racing a little bit. Trauma is one of those things that affects us not only emotionally, all right, but it truly does affect us spiritually and it affects us physically. There are some very real changes that happen when we experience trauma. And so before we dive into this, I want to read this passage over out of Psalm 91 to you. And some of you may be living in reoccurring trauma and reoccurring crisis. And this can be very uncomfortable for you. Some of you, you'll be reminded of past traumas, and it can become very uncomfortable for you. And so I want to speak these words over you. These are God's words. I just want to speak them over to you, and I want you to hear them, and I want you to allow them to kind of calm you where you are. We live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who is above all gods. This I declare, that he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting him. For he rescues you from every trap and protects you from the fatal plague. He will shield you with his wings. I cannot tell you, I think it's three or four times within the Psalms, the psalmist used this terminology of being shadowed, being protected by the wings of God. And it's beautiful. So if today you're struggling, I want you to think about that you're in a safe place, okay? You're in a safe place. These wings, they will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. Now you don't need to be afraid of the dark anymore, nor fear the dangers of the day, nor dread the plagues of darkness, nor disaster in the morning. I love that. May God's promises be our armor. You are in a place of safety. You are under the shadow of his wings. And under that, you are in a safe place. As a church, I will tell you that when it comes to trauma, we ought to be the safest place you can ever come to. And so I want to speak this right off the bat. If any of you are in an unsafe place, if you're experiencing any type of physical trauma, any sexual trauma, any verbal trauma, and it's ongoing, and you need a safe place, I need for you to raise your hand, not technically right now, okay? Not literally, but I need for you to let us know. Let somebody know that you are not safe. Let us get you to a place of safety so we can begin the healing process. All right? Deal?
Yes.
Deal. Okay. All right. I want to understand that the trauma and crisis are two different things, and I've got some definitions here, and I want to share these with you. All of us go through crisis in some way or another, okay? And a crisis, definition of crisis. A crisis is a dramatic shift in our internal equilibrium caused by an event or events. That's a pretty big definition to just say there's that uncomfortableness. The illustration I give is not that I've ever done this, but Nick was telling me about this. He was doing about 80 miles an hour down Interstate 95, and you know those little cut-throughs that the state troopers use? Yeah. Well, he's doing just fine. He was having a great time, and he blew by the cop doing 80, 85, and all of a sudden there was this this internal equilibrium shift that he had. We know what this is. This is that internal fight or flight type thing, okay? Fight, flight, or freeze really is the terminology. We can feel our heart racing. We can feel our blood pressure going up. We can even feel the adrenaline going. You may even get the shakes. The anxiety starts going off the roof a little bit. Your breathing gets a little bit more shallow and quicker. These are all things that can happen to us, okay? Now, I will tell you this. Every crisis we have is not a trauma. But every trauma we have does come from crisis. Trauma, the definition of trauma here, there it is determined by the depth of the physical or emotional distress experienced by a crisis, the crisis, or an ongoing crisis. So the depth in which that this affects us, it will determine if it's just a crisis or if it is real trauma, okay? There are four main types of crises, but the two that I think that are most prominent for us and that we're going to talk about here today, first of all, is developmental trauma, all right? There is developmental trauma, and that is something that happens just in the natural course of life. For example, I have buried both of my parents. They got older. It was a natural thing. It was still a crisis. When Dad breathed his last breath, when Mom breathed her last breath, it's still a crisis, all right? But it wasn't necessarily traumatic. There are other things that are just natural developmental phase. I know, for example, we have high school kids that just graduated, and now they have left and gone off to college. And that can bring about a crisis. We become empty nesters. It can become a crisis, but it doesn't need to be a trauma. The other thing that happens, now another type of trauma, and this is the one that is really, I think, affects us so much, and these are what we call situational traumas or situational crises. Now, situational crisis is an unexpected, catastrophic, or shocking act. It's often perpetrated against us. Now, an example of a situational crisis can be a very serious car accident. You were in that, car rolled over, all sorts of things. Someone may or may not have died in there. There are other times where we have witnessed the death of someone through very violent means. It is an absolute crisis when we find ourselves a number of first responders and a lot of our military that have seen combat. There are ongoing crises, and we don't feel safe, and we stay at a heightened sense of alert. Other examples of situational crises may be physical assault. It can be sexual assault. It can be a terrorist attack. It may be prolonged and repeated, or it may just be a simple major event that happened in your life. Either way, what's happened is that you have gone from a crisis and now it is a trauma. I want to give you some physiological ideas here of what's happening. Now, some of you have taken anatomy and physiology and things like this. Today, we're going to look at the human brain. Ta-da! Okay. This is pretty cool, and I'm going to go over this real quick. Brainstem. Okay, right here that runs down. You can even do one of these things. Brainstem, okay? Brainstem really controls all of our automatic things, our breathing, our heartbeat, different things like that, okay? Just things that we don't even give a second thought to. It's just everything that happens. Now, a little bit farther up in the brain is what we have, this section right here that's in white. This is what is known as the limbic system. This is kind of our emotional center, and this is our protection center. And what's really, really cool about this, within this little sphere right here within our brain, there's this little itty thing called the amygdala. The amygdala's sole purpose in life is to protect us and to sound the alarms if we are not in a safe place. What happens in crisis is the amygdala fires off, and our body will react before we can even think about it. Example, put your hand on a hot stove. The amygdala gets in and immediately says this thing, danger, and our hand is off of it almost as quick as it went there. When Nick was traveling down 95 so fast and he passed the cop, he automatically took his foot off the gas pedal and put it on the brake just to tell the cop he was really speeding, okay? All right. This amygdala, it's pretty crazy, but I tell you what, here's the problem that trauma does. This is where it changes us. Because normally what we can do, we have a crisis, there's initial reaction to it, fight, flight, or freeze, okay? And that will exist until we can get here into the frontal lobe, which allows us to process. And once we're able to process, this thing will then speak to the rest of the brain and said, we're safe or we're not safe. But it will regulate us accordingly. People that have very real trauma never get out of the limbic system and into the processing part. And what they do, they stay in a heightened sense of awareness. Does that make sense? Some of you are going, oh my gosh. And so what you're doing, you are always that, you are almost, you can be aggressive towards other people. Your fuse is really short. You walk around in a state almost kind of fearful. Your eyes are constantly looking around. You're looking and you're evaluating different things. And what's happening here is you're lost the ability to reason and to process through things. And so we're stuck in this emotion here, and this is where we are driven by our emotion and really driven by our adrenaline, which is really, really, you know, talk about damaging. Constant state of that, your blood pressure is higher, high blood pressure, your heart's working harder, cardiac disease, stress, you're creating more acid in your stomach, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, okay? All of these things in the short term are designed to protect us. Long term, it literally wears us out. Okay? Within trauma, I want to go over a few things here, and we're going to go to a video that I just love. Pastor did an interview with one of our members, Britt, and it's beautiful here. There's four things real quick I want to hit about what trauma does to us. All right? First thing that trauma does is it highlights our limitations. And this is why it's so damaging to us. Not only is the physiological side, but the emotional side here. All of a sudden, when there's a crisis that happens in our life, we have a very, very realistic view of how finite we actually are. How limited of control of the of life that's happening around me. You ever been in a car accident, there's nothing that can, once that car starts crumpling, there's nothing you can do. We are very, very limited, and we walk around sometimes thinking that we have far more power and control than what we have. A crisis reminds us of how little we really are, but also it can remind us of how big our God is. Second thing that a crisis and trauma will do, traumas usually are connected with death. And I would say that there's three types of death that I'm talking about here. There's the physical death of an individual or individuals. There is an emotional death, kind of the death of an ideal of what we had hoped for, what we had wished for, and all of a sudden we realize it's not that at all. And so that gets us all turned upside down. But then there's also a very real idea about spiritual death that happens here. And what really happens with the spiritual death here is it really begins to start changing our identity. Because see, if Satan can use evil against us, then he can, I think one of his greatest tools that he can give us, one is that we will find and believe that we are shameful people. If I am a shameful person, Genesis chapter 3, you can look at it. The very first thing that Satan had them do after they ate the fruit, there was a sense of shame. When their eyes were opened up, the first thing that they experienced was shame. They were naked and they hid. But yet, back in chapter 2, the goal, I think, of marriage was to be naked physically, spiritually, and emotionally and have no shame. We see when sin enters the camp, everything changed. And so there's a death that happens spiritually within trauma. You guys with me on this so far? Okay. Another thing that trauma does that is very, very tricky is what it gets us to do is we'll try to avoid it. We'll try to think it away. We'll try to ignore it. We'll try to lift up the carpet and sweep it under. Meanwhile, there's this massive speed bump in the middle of the living room, and everybody's going, oh, there's nothing there. It's good. Or we have this mentality, this shouldn't have been that big of a deal. I need to just keep on going. Trauma is trauma, and it is changing you, and avoiding it is trying to heal a wound by ignoring it. Think about that. I have a cut that needs stitches, but I'm just going to pretend that nothing happened. It'll be fine. What could possibly go wrong? I will tell you. Oh, it'll go wrong. It'll go wrong. And it always is later and it's greater. And it will show up when we least want it, when we least expect it, and it will catch us completely off guard. We have to address it. But if I can avoid it, I will try to avoid it and minimize it and let it just sit there, and it will fester. It will absolutely fester. And then finally, one of the greatest tools that trauma will give us is it will get us to start isolating off. And I think one of the reasons we begin to start isolating off within this, not only do we feel shame, but we allow this to begin to identify who we are. And if I'm broken, if I'm no good, if I'm dirty, if I'm tainted, if I'm all of these things, that I need to isolate off. And yet the very thing that God has reminded us, and Pastor did this last week, the very first time in Scripture where God said it is not good was when there was no suitable helper found for the man. And so he created woman. And what God did in that moment is he created community. In our trauma, we want to isolate off. And as we isolate more and more, we go deeper and deeper and deeper into our trauma, and we are getting deeper and deeper into our limbic system instead of getting into our brain that God has given us to be able to reason and to think through and to understand that, hey, these promises of God are my armor that we read about in Psalm 91. With those things in mind, I want you to get your attention to the screen. We have a great interview, Pastor Adam and Britt. Watch this.
Britt, thanks so much for joining me today. I know today we're talking about trauma, and I know for you there's been some significant kind of traumatic events that have happened in your life that have kind of shaped you for years, and I want to talk about that. But before we get there, I think it's important for people to know, for you, kind of your backstory of how maybe the intersection of struggles and faith were connected in your beliefs.
Yeah, so I grew up in church, and from very early on in my youth, I was a leader. I was very involved, and I kind of checked all the boxes of just thriving, working hard, going after goals. And I always felt, and I like my frame of reference was that if there was no space for like weakness or struggles or vulnerability, because then you're weak. And so I would always present myself as, you know, the overachiever. I got it all figured out. I got this. We keep going, because that's what you do to please God. And that's the way that you, you know, lead others and be an example to others. It's like, I got this figured out. God is with me and everything's going to be great. And anything else any struggles, weakness, vulnerability, anything like that, then there was a problem. There was a lack of faith, or it was just a sign of a weakness from the person. And so that was kind of like my upbringing, in a sense, and where I saw myself in like my faith and my church experience and kind of all of that.
So you had all this kind of as your foundation and your background.
Mm-hmm.
And then something tragic happened in your life.
Yes.
Will you tell us about that?
So when you experience a trauma, usually it's something that you have no control over and that it just happens to you. And when that happens, you don't know what to do. So for me, it was, and just to kind of put it in context, I had a child already. I had a wonderful pregnancy and everything was fine. And then I get pregnant again. And, you know, I was so excited and nobody knew it, only my husband. And so a few weeks later, I miscarry. And that miscarriage, the way that it happened, the physicality of it, just the entire experience of it. I was traveling, I was alone. And to this day, I remember, and it's hard sometimes to even talk about it and to like go back to that moment because it was extremely traumatic.
So after this happened, what'd you do? I mean, did you talk to someone or what'd you do?
So I didn't understand what was happening. I was not educated on what a miscarriage was and all that entailed, but also I felt like, you know, you just keep going. It's like, well, you know, it happened and you're going to push through. It's going to be fine. And if you just keep going and you keep, you know, showing up and all that, everything's going to be fine. But everything was not fine. But I just kept pushing through because I didn't know what to do.
So you have this incredibly hard, difficult moment and you're just pushing through. And like, I can't even imagine, you know, like the pain and the heartache you were feeling in that, just dealing with one tragic moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had two more miscarriages.
Yes.
And then you get pregnant a fourth time.
Yeah.
So tell me, when you get pregnant this fourth time, like, tell me about that pregnancy. What's going through your mind in that moment?
Well, throughout that time before I got pregnant, obviously, there came a time when I had to face the situation and I had to, like, I actually had a situation where I had like a panic attack, and that kind of opened up my eyes to like, there's something wrong. You need to understand that you've been through a traumatic moment and you need to process that and just deal with it, basically. And so thankfully I was able to process a little bit of what had going on, but then every time I would get pregnant again, although, you know, it was the fear again and again. But then I remember the last time when I became pregnant, because again, I had a second miscarriage and then a third miscarriage. And by then I'm like, why? You know, it was really hard. And so when I finally, you know, thought I wasn't going to have any more kids, I then get pregnant. And the fear was absolutely paralyzing. So what I did was I leaned into two things. I leaned into prayer and worship. And I think it was the first time in my life, like I really leaned into both of those things to just lament to God what had happened, but also bring what was going on and my fear and all of that. And I remember that it was around Easter. I found out I was pregnant like in February. So like the Easter season was happening. And I remember that there was a song on the radio that probably people know that's called Resurrecting. And so that song, there's a bridge to it that the words say, by your spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected king is resurrecting me. In your name, I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected king is resurrecting me. And as I heard that song, I kind of thought for a moment, I put my hands on my womb and I said, if I truly believe the resurrecting power, if I truly believe in the resurrection, then I can declare that power over my womb where all I felt that it had was death. Mm. And so I would put my hands and I would sing that song over my womb. Wow. The resurrected king is resurrecting me. By your spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat and I will declare your victory. and like weeping and crying. I would just sing that over and over and over again over my womb. And it just became like my prayer and like, you know, I'm going to battle for this. Yeah. And so, because I always felt as a Christian, like I said, that was my frame of reference. So this time I'm like, I'm going through struggles, but I'm bringing it to God. And I'm going to push through it, but in a different way. I'm pushing through it in His name. But I also challenged my faith because I remember seeing, like, you know, I grew up in church. I know all the word that is spoken, and I know all the Bible stories. I'm like, do I actually believe? Do I actually believe that, you know, the resurrection power? Do I actually believe? Do I have the faith? I put my faith in action to declare, like, greater things we will do if we pray in His name. And so, and I always said, if I believe in the power of the resurrection, I'm going to declare it over my life. And so, and now she's a kindergartner. So that's the story.
So tell me this. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people watching right now who they may be in the middle of a traumatic event or they've experienced some trauma in their life. Mm-hmm. What advice or wisdom or insight would you offer to them?
Well, first of all, don't feel bad when trauma happens to you because it's not necessarily anything that you've done. So, you know, trauma shows up in different situations and it just happens to you. So that's number one. Number two is to don't hide it. Don't, you know, shove it under the rug. Don't forget about it. Be aware that you experience a trauma and that you need to, you know, give yourself the space to process what you've just went through. Yeah. Because that's not a sign of weakness. Actually, it's a sign of strength that you're vulnerable enough to say, hey, I went through this really tough moment.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's hard, but this is life. It's an experience and I'm here and this is what I'm feeling and this is why I'm feeling it and that and validate that moment and give yourself that space. You know, talk to a counselor, I actually went to a psychologist at one point during my process to just process the trauma. So, you know, a pastor, a leader, somebody you can trust and you can open up and say, hey, I've experienced this situation. It's been traumatic and it can be any kind of situation. And just give yourself the space to process it and acknowledge that you went through it and validate that. That's very important. And the other thing I would say is lean into your faith. Like I did this time around, I came in with, like, we have tools. Like, we have prayer, we have community, we have worship. And in my case, I kind of did a little bit of the three. Like, this time around, I was like, I can't do this by myself. I realized that I won't. Like, fear is paralyzing, all that. So I said, you know, I'm going to trust the word of God. I'm going to pray that over my life. I'm going to believe. I'm going to put my faith in action. I'm going to sing and worship through the storm. And there's so many songs that you can use, even if you don't know what words to pray. Like I always say, use a song and make it your prayer to, you know, go through different circumstances that you go through or trauma. And the other one is community. Like, have people you can that can pray over you, can support you, can help you, that you can tell them, I can't today, I need some words of encouragement, and that they're godly people that will speak life into you, because all those things work together for your, you know, yeah. for to be able to process trauma when sadly we experience some sort of trauma.
Yes. Well, Britt, thanks so much for sharing with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you for letting me share my story.
Tell me that's not powerful, and I think some of that probably resonates with some of you, and I think it should. And one of the things I really love about Britt's story, most importantly, is that she recognized, she finally came to realize, I am not strong enough to do this. I am not strong enough to do this. And I equally like how she said, you know what, sometimes things just happen to us. It's not necessarily something I did. Things just happen to us. And they do. And we can either allow those things to define us, or we can try to blame God, which is a very common thing that we'll do. We will blame God for this. And I need to let you know that it's very clear, Scripture is very clear, that God does not do that. Psalm 5, 4 says, "For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you." James chapter 1, verse 13. James, I love the book of James, the first chapter. It talks about sorrows. It talks about temptations. He talks about real life things. And he says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." God is not about throwing us into the fire. We need to understand that because we live in a fallen world, evil happens. But what is amazing to me, what I just can't quite wrap my mind around it, is that God in his goodness is able to take the worst things in our lives and redeem them and bring us life out of that. One of the greatest, I have told you, and I have told people this before, 1995 was an awful year for me, just an awful year. And I remember coming home about 10 years ago and having another really bad day. And my son asked, "Worst day of your life?" I said, "Oh, no." And to be honest with you, the worst day of my life became the best day of my life because it took me out of me completely and forced me to trust in a God. It is the same thing. God can take the worst things in our life and redeem them for us, because we find out how small we are compared to how large he is, and we surrender ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's where he says, you've heard me say this before, "Oh, I can work with that." Jesus says, "I can work with that now." Second thing that trauma will do, it will try to rob us of our identity. And I need for you to know this: trauma is not our identity. We are not the sum total of the worst things that have ever happened to us. We are children of God. When Jesus was baptized, a voice from heaven came out and said, "This is my son, whom I love and I'm well pleased with." Jesus hadn't even started his ministry yet. I will tell you this, when we are in Christ Jesus, I want you to hear those words: "You are my child, whom I love, and I am well pleased." In your trauma, I want you to hear the truth: "You are my child." God speaking to you: "You are my child, whom I love, and I am well pleased." One of the last things that we can do with trauma to begin to start taking the sting out of it is to totally and completely allow God to repurpose our trauma. Repurpose the trauma. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says these things: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles," who comforts us in all our troubles, you ready for this? "So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." See, what God is doing in our, if we'll allow him, he will redeem and he will take the worst things that have happened to us and he'll create them into a ministry for us. But we can't bury it. See, what God is doing is, "I am making you stronger," he says. James talks about it in James chapter 1, I think it's in verse 2. "Rejoice in your hardships because you know that the testing of your faith will develop perseverance." Philippians 1:6, Paul says, "I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will see it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus." We are not done. God is still working on us. He is still changing us. He is still molding us. And even in the trauma, he can now give us a very real ministry. And so we go from being victims to victors in Christ Jesus. I'm not saying that any of this is easy. And I will tell you, you will have good days and you will have bad days. But we've got to get out of that fight or flight, that fear thing. And I tell you what, and I love this, how scripture talks right to this. And science says, look what we've discovered. We need to do this, this, and this. And Paul says, I talked about this 2,000 years ago. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Back it up a little bit. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I love this. But also, what do you go? Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, and everything. I won't be anxious about anything. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's just an arm that got, yeah, okay, yeah. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the peace of God that we cannot comprehend, that is one of the single greatest gifts that God can give us this side of heaven, is no matter what our situation, to have peace in there, real, lasting peace. The peace that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts, our emotions, and our minds, what we think, in Christ Jesus. And this is, say, how we do this. This is how we get out of being in the fight and flight and the fear thing. And start moving towards and thinking and using the tools that God has innately given us, that are designed in us to reason and to think. These are the things that make us different from any other thing that is created. And he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Oh, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. See, what God is saying is, I have equipped you. I have equipped you to protect your mind and your hearts if you will not allow these things to define you, but allow them to make you stronger and victorious and begin to think and to reason through this. I love how Britt said, she leaned into community. Oh, church, we ought to be the safest place on the face of the earth. But yet we think that we have to come here and have all of our stuff in one sock. That is not the case. We are, every single one of us, we are sinners in need of a Savior. All of us have come here broken. Some of us may be a little bit better at cleaning it up than others, but guess what? We're broken. Jesus came for us. And he even told us, listen, you are gonna have troubles in this world, but understand this. This is a promise. This is an armor that you can wear. I have overcome the world, Jesus says. Whatever is good, I need you to start thinking about that. I need you to sing songs about that. I want you to bring praise. And what happens is this slowly begins to move out of that very emotional state, and it gets us into reason. And then we can start seeing, wow, these promises of God, they are my armor. These promises of God are true. I am not terminally unique. I actually now have a ministry because there are other people that have walked the exact same path that I have, and God has brought me on the other side of that. Oh, praise be to God. Hey, listen. In Christ Jesus, you can choose to be a victim if you want to. But in Christ Jesus, we are victors. We are more than conquerors. Romans 8 tells us about that. We are more than conquerors. Those who are in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. You can be a victim or you can be a victor. It's up to you. And listen, there are people here that are willing to embrace you and to walk you through your trauma. I may not have walked that with you, but I'll walk with you on the healing side. Maybe there's somebody I know that has walked the same path that you have. Let me get you in touch with them. Let me tell you this. When Britt went through every one of her miscarriages, I bet you the farthest thing from her mind, especially when she got pregnant the last time, that she would ever have a ministry to other women who have lost babies. But yet in God's goodness and his victory, she just ministered to, I don't know how many people she's going to minister today. We're in the thousands, okay? We're in the thousands just off of this. She could have been a victim. Instead, she was a victor in Christ Jesus, and now she is ministering to others. What can we do this morning to help you? I don't want to minimize your trauma. Oh, gosh, I don't want to minimize your trauma. But I tell you what we do want to do is we want to partner with God because, see, God says that he makes us ambassadors of his. Second Corinthians 5:20. He wants to make us ambassadors. We are ambassadors. If you need community, let us know. If you're not safe right now, if you're in an unsafe situation, we need to get you out of there. We need to get you out of there. We need to get you in touch with some friends or some other family or somebody else and get you out of there so that you can begin to start healing. Whatever it is, our prayer team is going to be up here in just a minute. Let it be known to us. And there's some of you that have been struggling with this trauma, whatever it is, and you've never given it over to Jesus, well, today I want you to do that. And some of you have not even accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you that opportunity right now. If you need Jesus in your life, if you have never accepted Jesus as Lord, I'm going to ask that you would pray this prayer and that you would place this trauma right at his feet. Father God, I come to you, a sinner in need of a Savior. Father, you know my hurts, you know my trauma, you know everything about me, and yet you still love me. And until I can understand that, Lord, I'm just gonna trust you. Jesus, I'm begging you to be Lord of my life. Enter me. Begin to bring healing from the inside out. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.